We are so blessed, and so blessed by you being here, and where God's taking us in the Word. Let's just worship for just a moment. Father, we just give you all the praise. We bless you. We thank you and give you all the praise and glory for all things that belong to you. Oh, Father, right now, we just pray that you'll take us to this next level. Lord, humble our hearts. You said you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. Father, teach us what no man can teach us. Please take away arrogance, pride, opinionations, self-willed doctrine. Father, I pray that we'll humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we may be exalted in due season. And the exaltation is not the exaltation of man, but we want the precious Holy Spirit to come and conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. That is our exaltation, that all men may know that we are His disciples by His love that dwells in us. So, Father, we also pray for the men and the women across the planet, and whose names we will mention, whether this service or in days to come. We lift them up. We pray in the name of Jesus that you'll do a work in their life and do a work in their families and in their congregations, and that in Jesus' name that none will be lost, but that all will be brought into the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the doctrine of the apostles. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. I want to make sure that I don't miss anything that we're being seen and heard, I should say, now seen, being heard around. Dwayne, good to see you. Dwayne Wheeler is with us this morning, and we said not goodbye, but see you later to a very precious lady, his wife, and a good friend and family member of a lot of you in here, some of you in here, Fleta Wheeler, and she went to heaven. We had it was a wonderful memorial service and funeral this past week, and we just appreciate Dwayne being with us this morning. Amen. To those that are listening and those that will be watching in other places and around the world, we just invite you this morning, and we appreciate you being with us. Candy got an email or a text this week from a couple of ladies, Maureen and Andy, down in Australia. They've been listening. They said, we are excited about being able to watch you guys. He said, we want to meet Homer. I'm thinking, no, you don't. You just think you do. But people all over the place are enjoying what we're enjoying together. Last Sunday, we introduced a message, and it's called, and it'll be a series. This is actually the second lesson in that series. And we've termed that series Bayonet Training / The Ready Reference. And this morning, we're going to do some rehearsal of what we did last week for a couple of reasons. One, this will be the first Sunday or first service that we're actually recording it on video. The other thing, too, is redundance does produce even more of a foundation in you of remembering the things. Now, we will graduate. Over the next few services, we will graduate from going always back to the introductory part of this, and we'll go on each week. And I promise you, we will get into, whether it's this service or the next, very soon, eventually we'll get into the core of what we're wanting to speak about. bayonet training. We'll explain that. And as we did last week, most of you know what a bayonet is. I was amazed because I thought maybe they'd already done it, that our military had done away with bayonets. But bayonets are a fastened sword or spear, however you want to call it, on the end of a rifle. They still produce them. They still manufacture them. Our military still trains with them. The Marines specifically and the Army also have part of their martial arts training incorporates bayonet training. Well, why are you talking about bayonets? Well, simply it's just a spin on words, or it's a phrase to introduce where we are, not we as this church, but where the church at large is in prophecy and in end time events. This message is not just about some of the things that we're going to talk about, like radical grace or hyper grace, however you want to say it. But it is a blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, wake up to the body of Christ. Please wake up. Smell the coffee. Understand the time and season that we're in. So bayonet training, years ago I preached a message about bayonet warfare, and I said that the time would come that the warfare would not be out there, it would be inside the church. Now, we're not trying to teach you and tell you that we're supposed to come at arms against each other. We're just telling you that the fighting, the warfare that the enemy has tried to and is presently impregnating or introducing into the church, the virus that he has placed in the church is a doctrinal virus, and the schism is not out there. The schism is within, and the schism is creating something that is depleting the strength of the church. And as the church is, so goes the world. And we read some things last week, and I know it's going to take just a little bit of time, but that introductory statement is vital for us to read it on video. It's vital for us to read it for you that may be here for the first time listening to this. So I'll do that just now. So if you'll just give a listen, it'll take just a few moments for me to read this to you. What is the world coming to? The better question is, what is the church coming to? The world is coming to what the church has allowed it to come to. Amen. Peter mentions that judgment must begin at the house of God. The house of God meaning the church of Jesus Christ. God deals with his church first because we are to set the standards for the world. The world, by the fallen sin nature, is expected to fall short of the moral standards of the church. But the church is set in place to be a spiritual and academic resistance against the continual downward spiral of the morals of the world. When in history the church has soared with God and the standards of his word, so has gone the world. The influence of the church has always brought the world to a higher standard of morality. When in the past the church has backslidden and removed itself from the standards of God's word, then the world in turn has no resistance or testimony to keep it from going deeper and deeper into darkness. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4, we're not going to turn there. We read that last week. For sake of time, we'll just make reference to it. This is, when I say this is, I'm talking about if we had just read that verse, those verses. This is the present state of much of the church and the world. Paul prophesies in 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4 of a time in which, quote, that man of sin would be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The words prior to this verse are key in understanding how could such a man ever come to a place of prominence. Notice that it says he will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God. It doesn't just say that he will exalt himself above God. It says that all that is called, quote, called God. The word called is the word lego, which means to lay forth, comma, to set in words, usually of systematic or set discourse. In other words, that which has been set in effect, or the standard of God that has been set into effect by the standard of his word. So it might also be read or understood like this. This man will exalt himself above all the moral standards that are set by the truth of God's word. Again, how could the man come to such a place of prominence that he could actually exalt himself above the truths of God's word and get away with it? The answer is plain and simple. It is mentioned in the very same verse, in a quote, "That day shall not come except there come a falling away first." A falling away, those three words are one word, and is the word apostasia in the Greek. The word apostasia means a defecting or a defection from the truth. The word apostasy means there will be a defecting. This is a direct prophecy concerning the church of the Lord Jesus. This is not the world. This is a defecting from the truth. The world cannot defect because it never was in Christ. Christians can, and many of them will, defect from the truth. When it says, except there come a falling away first, the word first is not used here to just denote a timeline of sequential events that will lead up to this man's position of power. The word, quote again, first, is the word proton, which carries as part of its meaning the understanding before. Meaning that before this can happen, there will be an apostasy of the church. What this is actually saying is that the apostasy of the church will allow or gives place to the rise of the Antichrist. What we are seeing presently is a mass move of those in secular power to redefine to our society the standards of morality. Common Core, you want to give you a list of what our president, I speak respectfully, I pray for him, I love him. The initiative that he just signed in effect, transgender use in our public schools, mandated across the nation. Common Core, if you don't know what Common Core is, study it. It's a total redefining, the world, I'll read this again because I meandered there a moment. What we are seeing presently is a mass move of those in secular power to redefine to our society the standards of morality. Simultaneously, the church is going through a redefining of the very essence of the truth of God's word. Satan is making his last great move to systematically remove the word of God out of the hearts of God's people. This was the very first and great diabolical ploy of Genesis 3 in the garden. Hath God said. Amazing enough, he is removing the word without ever stealing a Bible. He is removing it without depleting the masses in the churches that receive this redefining. Conversely, there is growth in the Christian circles that embrace this redefining. This may be known as the age of the church that left but never went anywhere. Meaning, the church committed doctrinal apostasy from the truth without ever leaving the pew or dropping their church attendance. That's pretty strong stuff, but it's from God. All of this is meant to introduce Satan's champion in the earth, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. Well, folks, because of what we're seeing, do you not understand that we're seeing it getting closer and closer and closer? We are in a vortex. What is that? It's a tornado. It's a suction. And the closer we get, and all of this, see, I don't like it that I'm in this generation because of my grandkids, but I like it because I'm in this generation because we're bringing him home, Christ back. And it's just going to get, in a certain sense, worse, but it's going to get glorious, too. It's just going to get real glorious, too. So everything is speeding up towards that. We're getting sucked into this thing. a woman who, or man, who pushes a vacuum cleaner across the floor, if you get a light piece of lint, before it ever gets there, it'll start moving towards it. It'll start sucking it in. All of humanity is being sucked into this vortex. Christ is coming home. He's coming back to get us. He's going to take us home, rather, which is down here. He's going to change all this. But before that happens, the Antichrist has to come. And before the Antichrist has to come, there has to be a falling away. It's really amazing because there's a paradox that's taking place. Simultaneously, there'll be thousands and millions of Christians that will apostatize from the faith. And I always thought that meant they went back into the bars. That's not what they're doing. They sit right in the churches. They just start believing something that is totally opposite of God's Word. They begin to believe a grace that is not defined by God's Word. They begin to believe other things that is not defined by God's Word. And so this, because of the depletion of the power of the church, then it gives the world excuse, and it gives access to the Antichrist to come and to come into fruition, to his full power. It is from this understanding where the church is in history that we launch on this study, Bayonet Training, the Ready Reference. So that was beneficial. How many believe for me to read that to you? Hallelujah. Very important. We made some references last week to a couple of complimentary lessons that Gary Carpenter has recently done, and we told you how to get those. One's on his website, one's on Dave Roberson's website, and one is at Jim Martin's website. One is called The Apostles' Doctrine, and the other one is called Denying the Words of Jesus. They're very complimentary to this. Gary may be doing some more. Gary actually helped me out with some of this years ago in introducing Gary has done a lot of study on it, even far more than myself, and I've spent many, many hours in not only the Word, but in reading direct quotes, because what we're going to do over the next few weeks, we're going to mention some names. This is the first time I've been instructed to do this. I'm not going to mention them every service. I don't think we'll even get to it today. We're going to mention some names, and we're going to say, this is what these men are saying. Now, surprisingly, some of these men are pastoring Christian churches, Spirit-filled churches, with 20 and 30,000, I think maybe the last count was maybe 40,000 people in one church. We're not going to give, I think this man doesn't believe this or does believe this. I'm going to give you from a book that I'm going to recommend and not totally say I wholeheartedly agree with everything about it, but I'm going to give you a book that says, okay, here's an index, here's direct quotes, here's a person who wrote a book who, in my judgment, has did it very in a very congenial, loving way. He did not go after these men, but he found out what they say in their messages. He tried to interview some of these guys, and these will be direct quotes. So do my best not to give you hearsay about the radical grace message. But as I said this morning, what we're after is not just the radical grace message. We are wanting to present to you as a body of believers and to people out there an awareness to say, is it time to blow the trumpet? Is it time to say all hands on deck? Is it time to say let's come together in truth and to be very wary about what is being taught around us? And I believe that time is now. It's absolutely now. And Daniel, in the 9th chapter, the Bible talks about that he came to a place. He was over in Babylon, but he came to a place by his own admission. He wrote the words. He said, I came to an understanding of, and I'm paraphrasing now, of the time and season based on the books. And the books were, that he was reading, was Jeremiah's writings, another prophet that had prophesied before him. And by reading the books, by reading the prophecies, he came to and he goes, aha, I understand. I understand where we're at in history. We're going to be here 70 years. He says, okay, I understand by what Jeremiah prophesied. And so then he tells all, I've come to an understanding. God showed me through the word. Listen, it's not just for me, it's for you as well. We are and should come to an understanding, awareness in these days and hours that we understand what time and season we live in. And what time and season that we live in is that there is a tremendous redefining of what truth is. Now, that redefining is taking place secularly, and it's being mandated to us. But the travesty, where it really hurts at, is that redefining is taking place in the church. And if you're just like, oh, kissy, 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 lovey, 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 doesn't matter what they're saying. It really doesn't matter. You will be sucked in. You will be sucked in. And let me tell you something, please. This is not an hour to backslide. You may not get back. This, everything's happening so fast. You may, because if you say, well, I'm going to take off a little bit. I know I'm in the flesh right now about something, and I'm just going to take off 6 months, and I'll get this straightened out, and then I'll come back. You may not get back, because everything is being defined so quickly, and how can I explain this, Lord? There is a defining and a redefining and a mindset that those who choose truth and choose to allow themselves to be judged in the light of God's word, it seems like they are being drawn or sucked into more truth, and they're coming into a greater awareness. Those that choose any darkness at all are being, it's like they begin to develop spiritual amnesia. They begin to develop this spiritual amnesia that they begin to forget everything that they've learned in the past, and they're being sucked into a darkness. It's not a time to backslide. It's not a time to give way to the flesh at all. Press in further and faster than you ever have before. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, let me say a few things concerning last week, just as, again, as a foundation. You understand, when I say bayonet, as I said, it's close up and personal. And it's not with brothers and sisters. It's with the enemy of our soul, which is the devil. And he's trying to introduce to the church at large and maybe some of your friends. When I say the ready/ready reference, what I'm saying is this. We're going to try to provide for you after all that is said and done. Now, you're getting a whole lot of stuff that will just be your foundation. But before it's over, I'm really going to have you walk out of here one service with a sheet like this. And it may not be, you know, several sheets. It may be just, you know, 10 different things. And we're going to tell you what they say, they, brothers and sisters in Christ, repeating what other ministers of God who have 30 and 40,000 people going to their church, what they say concerning particular issues. We'll snip it. We'll keep it close. We'll just give you the one or two, you know, sentences on it, and then we'll give you what God's Word says. And the reason we say the ready reference is we want you to be fortified, not to be lost in this whole thing, but more importantly, it's not just to solidify your foundation, but it's to help you to help others to be rescued. Now listen, I'm not teaching you this for debate. I don't like debates. Debates are never won by the people that are debating. Because I've got something to say, and the person that's debating me, he's not even listening to what I got to say. He's just thinking about what his response will be. I had a guy that left here years ago. He said, when you start talking about something I don't like, I just go someplace in my mind. And I said, okay. I didn't get upset. But that's what a debate is. A debate's never won. A debate's won by the people that are listening to it. They judge it. Okay, wow, that was truth. And especially based on your love. Now, the Lord debated the Pharisees. Paul debated. I mean, the Lord gave wisdom above them. So at times you're going to have to speak up. You are going to have to speak up. But it's going to be settled in the minds of those who are listening. So who are we after? We're not after people that have already settled this and said, we could care less, you know, what you have to say. Our heart's desire is to rescue them if we can help them. My God, I've got family members that are there. But here's the deal. Those marginal people, first for yourself, because you're going to hear a lot of stuff in these last days. And folks, I can tell you this, it's going to sound so good to start with. If you don't go ahead and listen to all of it and weigh it out, you'll just eat it up, hook, line, and simple, sinker, everything. The marginal people that you can rescue, and in the hardline people that you can rescue, we want to teach you this for that, for those purposes, not for argumentative purposes. It's very, very important. Very important what God's having us to say and to do. Primarily, we're going to expose the hyper grace / radical grace message. Well, did you preach on this before? 4 years ago, I've come a long ways in my understanding what they're saying, and I have a love for these people. We're not mad at anybody. We just want to help people in these last days go to a place of what we're calling the spiritual outpouring. We're going to expose some things like this. Today, again, we got to go someplace else, and we better hurry. But we're going to expose some things that sound so good. God has forgiven all sin at salvation, past, present, and future. Repentance is not necessary after salvation. Now, we're going to give you scripture, not opinion. Only part of the teachings of Jesus Christ apply to the Christian church. I'm going to give you some direct quotes by a man that has millions and millions of people that are following him. And basically, if you follow him in his messages, then if you really follow what he says, you can tear out most of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can just tear it out. Tear it out of your Bible. And people don't catch that. Only part, and I'll give you direct quotes as much as I can, only part of the book of 1 John, or no, the first chapter of the book of 1 John does not apply to the church. I'm not saying this is truth. I'm saying this is what they say. It was to the unbeliever, to the agnostic. So we're going to go after some of these things in the next few weeks. Last week, and we better head towards where we're going this morning, but last week I mentioned two things that I felt was the catalyst that promotes this unsoundness more than anything else in these days. And this might not be an exhaustive list, but this is two things that I believe that is very highly promotive. One is an ignorance to God's Word. Now listen, I don't want you to ever think that he's Mr. Smarty, he knows everything. Listen, this is given to you just like it is to me, okay? And I gave a whole lot of references last week of how that you as a layman or an individual have just as much right to revelation knowledge as I do. The counterpart to that is this. He did, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, he did set in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. We went into other scriptures that talks about that my calling is to bring, if necessary, rebuke. It is to bring reproof. It is to help people see correctly and to say, look, I am not replacing the Holy Ghost, but I'm supposed to be a person standing up and telling you what is truth. If there's any controversy about it, here's what truth, and there's a calling for that. Now, one of the things that I believe that has led up to such a head where we're headed as in apostasy is a rebellion, an absolute generation of rebellion. You can't, remember we did that last week? I won't have you get up and do it today, but I said it's the radical grace shuffle, you know. And again, we're just, and here's what the shuffle was. I said, put your left hand on your left hip, put your right finger out, bend into it, bend at the waist a little bit, and start shaking your finger and say to me what almost all of the church has at some point felt, I'm not saying necessarily this church, but the church at large, when people start telling them something, or a man of God or a woman of God start telling them something that is converse or conversely against what they believe, even though it may not be the word of God, in their hearts, the whole church is saying, you can't tell me what to do. We had a good time with that last week, because that's the way a lot of people feel. Now, wait a minute. You can't tell. You know what it's produced? It's produced, and all you sports people understand what this, it's produced millions of armchair quarterbacks. Paul said in the Word, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, have not many fathers. In other words, the fathers are those who are your shepherds, your protectors, the ones that are going to give you truth no matter what. Paul would have changed that whole thing nowadays in 2016. He would have said, because of Facebook, because of social media, because everybody has a doctrine. Well, I got a doctrine. Really? Yeah, I'm going to post it on Facebook. And I know just as much as that guy that's teaching. Okay. Well, the prerequisite for being a shepherd, in other words, if you're going to post a doctrine, the prerequisite is this. Are you willing to give your life for the sheep? Oh, no, I'm just going to post it, and they got to deal with it. Get off, man. Get off everything. And there's a lot of people that feel like, I've got just as much to say as anybody else, so I'm going to post up. So that's one of the primary things that's happened in today's society. Now as I said, we will get to the core in the next few weeks. Daniel 9, as I said, we're not going to turn there, but you want to write that down. Daniel 9 is a man, he's writing about that he saw the time and season that he lived in because he understood it from the book of Jeremiah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Turn with me. Aha, we finally get to the Word of God. Glory. As I said, this is a message, this not today, but this whole series of sounding the alarm. So let's look at Matthew chapter 24. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And here's the words of Jesus. Jesus has just had a very scathing argument in the temple with religion, and he walks out and he's not too happy. And in verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed. Everybody there, Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. I don't know what they were doing, except maybe they were trying to appease him. Lord, you need to settle down here. Isn't the temple beautiful? Look at it. And Jesus said unto them, verse 2, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now that prophecy was fulfilled 70 AD. The Romans came in. They pillaged the temple, tore it all down. There wasn't no stone upon it. That particular prophecy has been fulfilled. And he sat, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now let me just stop right there, because you've heard me say before. Now this has everything to do, and believe me, you'll catch it as we go along, especially as we go along in the next few weeks, that this message that we're speaking today has everything to do in relevance to the messages of bayonet and other understanding. In other words, understanding the day and hour that we live in, bayonet training, how important it is not to let anybody introduce over to you anything other than the truth of God's Word. Now, when they asked Jesus, what is the sign of your coming? Now, some of you haven't heard this before, so it deserves an explanation. They're talking about what's the end, and they said, what's the end of the world? Give us signs. Let us know. Interesting enough, Jesus starts out with the very first thing that would be the thing that you would watch for if you're looking for Christ to come back. Now, he doesn't start talking about the very first thing being cataclysmic, stars falling, moon turning to blood. A lot of that stuff is mentioned in the book of Revelation and all that. And I'm not dismissing that, although I don't think we understand the relevance of it like we necessarily should. But Jesus doesn't start talking about all those really, what we think is weird stuff, creatures coming out of the sea and all that. He says, look, the very first thing that you need to know about my coming back, prior to my coming back, is take heed that no man deceive you. In other words, there is going to be an era of time in which people are going to either be whisked away into unsoundness or else they will follow truth. But it's going to be so hard to know truth from untruth that if you're not careful and if you're not born again, spirit-filled, and walking with Jesus, you're going to be whisked away. And he said, that is the very first sign, because he said this, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, let me clarify that, because if you really look at this carefully and you understand this, and if you meditate it, and I believe if you go back and look at it in every possible original explanation of it, obviously, and I think you'd agree with this, obviously, I don't think anybody in the church is going to ever accept somebody coming up and saying, I am Christ, follow me. And we've had a few, Looney Tunes through history, that says, I'm the Christ. The most they've ever got is, we had one guy here in Florida, in Miami or whatever, they get a handful. No sensible person in the church, Jesus is not warning about a minute 0.00000 of a half percent of the people that would ever believe that anybody would come forth dressed in a white robe, long beard, and say, I'm here now. I'm Jesus. I'm the Christ. Come on, he's not warning about that. What it's actually saying is here, many will come saying, I am a representative and I speak the words of Christ, or I teach the doctrine of Christ, and this is to be understood as from him or by his word validated. And so Jesus saying, look, very first sign, many are going to come, they are going to deceive many, and they are going to come saying, in my name, I'm doing all this. I'm teaching the absolute of God's word. Let's continue on. And he says, many shall come, verse 5, in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of war. Now, here's where we go with some of this thing's outside. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these things, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up. Listen carefully now. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And look at this. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Listen, again, Jesus is giving what are the signs of the end time. He said here, number one, deception would be rampant. When we get to what we just got to, he said, look, there will come a time that the love of many will wax cold. Now, again, this is a prophecy to the church. He's not talking about the world that once loved God would then stop loving God. He's saying because of what? Iniquity. Sin. In other words, because sin would be so rampant in the earth, and because it would be a choice of who do I love? Do I love God or do I love the world? He said, because of this kind of choice that will be in the earth, he said the love of much or many of the church would wax cold. Now, we studied in the book of Revelation the church that no longer loved him with the intensity. That was Ephesus, right? That no longer loved him like they once loved him. And he said, repent. And here, Jesus' prophecy to the disciples and to us is this. One of the things that you'll see is that there'll be a turning off, you know, like a candle. The wax is hot. It's there. It's liquid, basically closer to the stem of the fire. And then as it melts or as it goes down, the further away from the fire it gets, it waxes cold and hardens. That's the picture. That's a simple picture. Jesus is saying this, because of sin. Now, if you go back to the original part of this chapter, what is it that could possibly be promoting the sin factor or helping it in the church? Deception by those who taught something other than the original truth concerning God's grace in the lives of the church. But he says, because of sin being in the church or rampant or such a strong state in the world, that there would be a great falling away. Verse 10 says this, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now, let me give you just a couple quick. Now, this is important. Now, listen to me. The word here for offense in verse 10, offended, is the word scandalizo. Scandalizo. And it means this. Scandalizo. What does a scandalizo, what does that sound like? Scandal. Did you know that's the word? It comes from the next, that word's 4624, if you want to look it up, check me out in the Strong's. It means to entrap, for example, to trip up or entice to sin, and it means apostasy, or displeasure, make to offend. It comes from the word scandal, what you just said, intelligent bunch. A cause of displeasure or sin. It means, for example, to snare, occasion to fall, offense, a thing that offends. So you could read this, and then shall many be scandalized by the apostasy. Isn't that amazing? And shall betray one another and hate one another. Now let's, one may think, now this is really taking you into another area, and I don't want to get too far with this. But I just want to pronounce it into your thinking, or I just want to sow it into your thinking about what Jesus was actually saying here. One might think that this was the world when we read here, and many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another and shall betray one another. Now listen to this, please. One might think that this was the world, but as we take a closer look, it appears to be those that become offended at the truth and apostatize. In what? Betraying. Apostatizing and then betraying. Betrayal does not take place among known enemies. Enemies do not trust each other. This is the word scandal. For scandal to take place, there must be a trust that is violated. Are you still with me? Now let me give you a quick, because I want us to turn to a scripture where Jesus is involved. Let me just say this, and I have to introduce it like this. My personal example. You know me as your pastor. Now people can see me. What do I look like to you? I guess, am I white? Yeah, a cracker. Oh, Carl's giving me the buffed look. I appreciate that, Carl. Keep it up. Big head. You'll give me a big head. I don't really know all my origin roots. I'd looked up Flint. I think it's from England, Europe. I do have a grandmother, a great-great-grandmother, that was full-blown Spanish, came from Spain. So I do have Spanish blood in me. You saw my granddaddy. He looked really Spanish. The teenagers at Mockley High School thought Amber, they thought she was Mexican when she was going there. Of course, she did dress the part too. She had the, which is good, okay, which is good. Candy's white, but Candy also, if you look, her granddaddy, one of her grandfathers, is real, real Cherokee. I mean, he's just way, way Cherokee. I don't know how much, but he looks like he came off a reservation, and he's gone now. So Candy's a lot of Cherokee. I got me a wild Indian woman. No, I got a great Indian woman. My son-in-laws, who married my daughters, who didn't have my permission, they had my absolute blessing. I got the greatest son-in-laws, and I'm so thankful. I'm not bragging. I'm just so thankful. They're born again, love God. And Mike is Jewish, and so we have a great relationship. He just hugs me. We don't make it a point to have to hug each other. We just love each other. He calls me Dad, and I appreciate that. That's just a wonderful blessing. And when all my grandkids come up here on Sunday morning, we're not trying to make a statement to you guys. We're not trying to say, okay, here we look at us. We're the first family. We're all first family, okay? We just love our kids. I just love Davey married Watson. He's Haitian. And he had a, yes, sir, yes, sir. Again, Alex and Carl, yes, sir, yes, sir. And he didn't have my permission. He had my blessing. You know, I mean, he's just a wonderful Christian young man. Mike calls me Dad. He calls me Papa. Watson, oftentimes he'll hug me. A lot of times he'll give me a big old fat kiss on the cheek when he sees me. And I just love it, you know. I was raised in a lot of different, I was raised around cowboys, you know, and I'm still a cowboy in a certain sense, you know, the Western hats and cowboy boots and stuff, and you know what some of those guys think about that stuff, and but I'll tell you what, if all my family was here and there was 50 of them with cowboy hats on, if Watson comes in, I'm going to hug him and kiss him just like I would if we were in private. And I wouldn't care who liked it, who didn't like it, who loved it, who was glad, sad, mad, or whatever. It wouldn't matter to me one way or the other. I just couldn't care less. I don't have no room for prejudice. It's just not in my vocabulary. So I introduced all that to say this, just this little short teaching. It's a privilege to pastor a multiracial church. We got blacks sitting here this morning, whites, Hispanics, Haitians, I don't know. I don't know if we have any American natives or not. That'd be wonderful. Ralph is. Ralph got a lot of Seminole, and so we're just. I'm really privileged. Some of my best friends. Y'all are my best friends. Homer is one of my very best friends, and if you haven't noticed, he's Mexican. So I'm just real privileged. I'm just real privileged. But let me just read a scripture from Jesus here and what he said. Let's just turn over to Matthew chapter 20 or chapter 12. Hallelujah. I appreciate y'all staying with me. Y'all don't really have no other place to go except right here, right now. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12. Let's look at verse 46 through 50. And this is Jesus in one of the different episodes of his life. While he yet talked to the people, now he's ministering and teaching. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother, you know who his mother was? Everybody tell me who his mother was. Y'all are the smartest bunch I ever seen. His mother, Mary, and his brethren, and this is not talking about his apostle brethren. They were with him in the house. This is James and Jude and all of his actual physical blood brothers, they had the same mama, okay? And this was actually his brethren. They stood without. In other words, they were outside. It'd be like us ministering, Jesus ministering here, not enough room, couldn't get in. They were outside. Mama's outside. All of his brothers are outside. And his brother's standing without, desiring to speak with him. I don't know why they wanted to talk to him in the middle of a church service for, but they had something they thought they wanted to talk to him about. Well, we got to get something over to you. Then one said, I don't know, maybe this guy's close enough to look outside and see that they're standing out there. Or maybe they sent a message. Hey, would you tell him I got something to say to him? Mama, I got something to say to him. Or maybe Jude or James, we got to tell him something. Then one said to him, behold, thy mother and brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. I mean, right in the middle of what he's trying to minister. But watch what Jesus said. But he answered and said unto and told them, he said this, who is my mother? And who is my brethren? And he stretched, then he did this. He just put his hand out there and just waved at all the crowd. Just stretched his hand out there just so everybody know who he's talking about. He stretched his hand forth towards his disciples and said, and to his disciples, he said this, behold, these are my mothers. These are my brothers. These are my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Hallelujah. In other words, he was prophesying of a time that when those that do the will, what is the will of God? That you must be born again. He was saying this, those that are born again of the spiritual DNA of my Father, they are truly more closer to me than my own skin or kin by skin. They are closer to me. The DNA that is inside of me that has caused me to be born again was the same DNA that Jesus did this and stretched out his hand and said, he wasn't disrespecting Mama Mary out there, but he was saying, look, they are not truly. The truth is there's something much higher than the kin by skin. The higher thing is this, the DNA that's on the inside of you. These are my mothers. These are my brothers. These are the ones that are truly kin to me by that which is most and of highest importance, by that which is the spiritual DNA on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Paul said this, our identification cannot be based on our physical DNA. Our skin color, race, or nationality, it is not who you are. Now you better listen to this real close, church, because we're going to need this. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The new that took place the moment that you were born again, you were born from above. You are not the man or woman that you used to be. And now your identification must be not on who you are, and I'm tapping my skin. It cannot be that. It must be the identification of who you are as a born-again believer in Christ, as that new man, as who you are in Christ Jesus. Well, our first place of identification must be who we are and what we have become in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. What does this mean? What this means is this. Listen, when we're at school, college, work, break room, lunch with coworkers, internet, gym, Facebook, you are not first black, Hispanic, Haitian, Native American, Asian, or white. You are a born-again child of God who has the same DNA of every other born-again Christian. This DNA, according to Jesus, demands more respect than the genetic DNA in which you were born with. He showed that by example. It demands more respect. This is not limited to nationality alone. This DNA supersedes gender and age groups. For example, if an issue is brought up in any of those places forementioned, and the status quo of your race, gender, or age group goes against the moral, biblical values, it is your obligation to stand first for who you are in your spiritual DNA. You should not look for controversy, but if you find yourself part of a discussion privately or publicly, and a platform is presented to you that says this is who we are, and that platform contradicts biblical principles, you are obligated to speak up and share what the Bible says contrary to popular opinion. No matter if this contradicts the status quo position of your nationality, gender, or age group. to be passive and say nothing when you are part of a group discussion or a private is to deny Jesus. Those are powerful words. Well, they were just saying something, Pastor, and I'm not talking about you hear something going on over there. You don't have to go. You don't have to run up and cause any, you know, you don't have to start problems. But you were involved in it. And you were talking. Well, I didn't say nothing. No. No, you said something. You said volumes. You wrote a book by saying nothing. Just by saying nothing, you just wrote a whole book. You just said to them, I can go along with that because that's who I am. No, that ain't who you are. Who you are is what you've been born again with. That's the spiritual DNA. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Now, recently, I'll just say this. This will give a prime example. I just recently saw, and you know I got some Spanish in me, so I can talk a little bit. I saw a Spanish pastor, good-looking young man, well-dressed, really smart, on a news channel, and he was from California, and he said this. He said, this one particular candidate, and he was talking about just two that we all know who are going to run. He said this. He said, and he was speaking as a spokesperson for that part of California. He said, as a Latino, he said, look, we have a problem. He said, we acknowledge that this one particular candidate has much closer Christian values, and what they are saying holds closer to biblical truths than this other one. But we don't like what this person has said, and he based on his immigration policies and some rude things that he may have said. Now listen, I'm not here to promote anybody. I'm not. And maybe this person has been rude, and maybe this person, I don't know all about their policies, but basically what this pastor was saying, look, and he kind of got a little arrogant about it, like, us Latinos will show up, and if he don't think that we won't, well, I kind of gave something away, didn't I? If he don't think that we won't give our vote away if we don't get an apology or if we don't get more, he did say this other person has more Christian values. But what he was saying is, our nationality means something too. Now, be proud of who you are. Be proud of who you are. Absolutely be proud of who you are. But when it comes to moral standards, you're not to choose this. You're to choose this, the Word of God. And this man was basically saying, don't know, it's nationality or Christian. My God, there's no choice at all. There's no choice. Yes, suffer if necessary. Yes, and I'd say this if it was white. I'm telling you, we've got to make a stand. Because Jesus said there's going to be teachings in the last days that are going to take away for the morality of the church, and people will think it's okay to go with status quo against not having to have any persecution in their life. Hallelujah. Alex and Natalie, I'm doing marriage counseling with them. He told me, sorry to implement you, buddy. You might get some fire. You don't care. He said there is a widespread, because that's what he does. He's out there in social media and stuff. He said there's a widespread doctrine that's coming about now that Jesus and Christianity is a white man's religion. That stuff right there will send you to hell. It's not a white man's religion. It's a God religion from heaven. Now, God's not white or black or Hispanic. Well, he may be a little Hispanic, Homer. All right. Thank you, sir. Understanding Matthew 24, false teachers will produce a melancholy Christianity with a walk that will cause the love of many to wax cold, then they will be more acceptable to a religion that takes no stand in the face of persecution. Be proud of who you are nationally, always. But when it comes to gospel truths, you are not black. You are not Hispanic. You are not white. You are not Asian. You're not Haitian. You're not American native. You are a born-again child of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. This is what we're facing in these last days. Folks, you're a good audience. You stayed with me. Are we hearing truth? Absolute truth. And I appreciate it. Make sure. And I think that's it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just to finish it up, listen, when he said in the last days, many will betray others. And that word betray, because of offenses, and that word offenses is the word apostasy. Now, listen, close with this. Stay with me just a couple more minutes. There's two types of betrayal. There's blatant betrayal, and then there's subtle betrayal. We have to be a bunch. Oh, God, okay, please. I promise. I want to show you, we don't teach memorization around here, but you got to memorize this verse, okay? Please turn with me to 1 Peter 4. This is a verse you better memorize in these last days and keep it as one of the ones that you keep real close to you, okay? 1 Peter, what did I tell you? 4. Keep this verse, memorize it. Because you need to put it on your bathroom, kitchen, every place. Learn it, because it's going to keep you in these last days. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Better learn that one, memorize it. Pastor, I may lose some friends or family members. You don't know how blessed you will be when you lose them. Some people are worth losing. In fact, if everybody likes you, because there's two kinds of betrayals. One is you just really betray, a blatant betrayal. There's another one is, look, we're all locked in. We are all locked into each other. And we're all speaking the same thing. I'm not going to go someplace tomorrow and have somebody begin to say things that are contrary to the truth and me to hang my head. Now, I'm not going to go look for the fight. But if I'm in it and they start stuff, If I was Hispanic or if I was Haitian or whatever, I'd have to, even if that lump come in my throat and I thought, oh my God, well, I'm really going to get in trouble over this, I'd have to say, well, that's just not what the word says. Well, man, what are you doing? Listen, we're following Jesus Christ. I will not betray you. I will not betray him, and I will not betray the common trust that we have one with another to speak the truth in love. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Woo, you did good. Stay with me. You didn't walk out. I appreciate it. Hallelujah. Father, bless this bunch in the name of Jesus and keep these words strong in our hearts. 6 o'clock tonight, calling in the lost in prayer from 6 to 8. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful day. And we're on YouTube. Amen.